Would you turn to Proverbs 9 this morning? We're going to begin in this new chapter of Proverbs, where we're introduced to the subject of wisdom versus folly. Wisdom versus folly. And the beginning of this chapter talks about wisdom building her house. And this statement reminds me that all of us are building a house. Now, what kind of house that is depends upon you, whether or not you follow wisdom or whether or not you follow folly. And what's in the house depends upon you, how strong the house is, how weak the house is. And we see in this chapter, I'm going to read the whole chapter this morning to get the sense of this before we go into our lesson. Chapter 9, verse 1 through 18. Wisdom hath builded her house. She hath hewn out her seven pillars. She hath killed her beasts. She hath mingled her wine. She hath also furnished her table. She hath sent forth her maidens. She crieth upon the highest places of the city. And this is what she cries: Whoso is simple, let him turn in hither. As for him that wanteth understanding, she saith to him, Come, eat of my bread, and drink of the wine which I have mingled. Forsake the foolish and live, and go in the way of understanding. And then she goes into some instruction about scorners and reproof and the fear of the Lord by saying, He that reproveth a scorner getteth to himself shame, and he that rebuketh a wicked man getteth himself a blot. Reprove not a scorner, lest he hate thee. Rebuke a wise man, and he will love thee. Give instruction to a wise man, and he will be yet wiser. Teach a just man, and he will increase in learning. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. For by me thy days shall be multiplied, and the years of thy life shall be increased. If thou be wise, thou shalt be wise for thyself, but if thou scornest, thou alone shalt bear it. A foolish woman is clamorous. She is simple and knoweth nothing. For she sitteth at the door of her house on a seat in the high places of the city to call passengers who go right on their ways. Whoso is simple, let him turn in hither. And as for him that wanteth understanding, she saith to him, Stolen waters are sweet, and bread eaten in secret is pleasant. But he knoweth not that the dead are there, and that her guests are in the depths of hell. Now, one of the constants that you'll find as you study the book of Proverbs is the use of contrasts. This or that. This but that. Now, the word but, B-U-T, is used 243 times in this book. That word is used to contrast what happens when wise choices are made compared to what happens when foolish choices are made. The word but is used many times, as we see in Proverbs 13:2, a man shall eat good by the fruit of his mouth, but the soul of the transgressors shall eat violence. And in Proverbs 13:11, wealth gotten by vanity shall be diminished. But he that gathereth by labor shall increase. My, how labor is its own reward. We see in the chapter 9 where we're studying the use of contrast, where we're given a contrast between the person of wisdom and the person of folly. You know, this book is addressed to the young man, and I think we could say the young woman. This is where this book is so needed to the young folks. So we're given this contrast between the person of wisdom and the person of folly, and we've seen that wisdom has been personalized as a woman, and here in verse 13, we see folly pictured as a woman who sits at the door of her house. So we have two women here. And if we look close, we'll see that both women hold a banquet. But we also see that the result of the banquets are very different. Which banquet you go to determines what happens to you. Wisdom's banquet leads to life, but folly's banquet leads to death. Now, wisdom has prepared for this banquet by building a house. We're told here in this passage that wisdom has built her house, and it is supported by seven pillars. You know, pillared houses are well thought of, are they not? Down here in the South, you would go by the plantations, and the plantation owners always seem to desire pillars in their homes, because pillars always give an image of substantial construction and strong houses. So this is the picture that we're given here. We're given a picture of a substantial house, and it is in accordance with Proverbs 14:1, which tells us that every wise woman buildeth her house, but the foolish plucketh it down with her hands. Boy, that's quite an instruction to you ladies. You know, it tells you ladies to take heed when you decide on a course of action. Will that course of action result in the building of your house? Or will that course of action, in effect, tend toward bringing that house down? Every decision you make. Should I cook a meal tonight? Should I wash the clothes? Should I teach my children? Should I tend to the child that's unruly and out of control? Should I see to the needs of my husband or not? Should I make the bed? That all tends toward either building the house or plucking the house down. You know, termites are in the business of plucking houses down. Did you know that? And you can sit and listen in your house and never hear the termites. But one day you may be walking on the floor and all of a sudden, whoosh, your foot goes through the floor. What happened? The termites were working to pluck that house down. So everything you do tends toward building your house, or it tends toward plucking that house down. Ladies, you have to think about that when you take a course of action. You know, it's obvious today that many are in the house demolition business, for many homes today are being brought down instead of being built up. My, how the houses are coming down in the world today. But here we see that wisdom never plucks her house down, but only builds her house. The house that wisdom builds is a house of seven pillars. It's a complete, solidly built, substantial house, suitable for great banquets, for it is a place where great gifts are given to those who respond to the invitation. You know, you go to a great banquet and there's a little gift for each invitee. Now we're told that wisdom has prepared her banquet by the slaying of beasts in order that her table be set with the finest of meats. Oh, it's the finest of foods at wisdom's table. Wisdom has enhanced the wine by adding aromatic spices to it, enlivening the banquet and improving the taste. The wine is magnificent at wisdom's banquet. Wisdom says, bring out the best china. Ladies always seem to want to have best china. Used to be. I don't know if it's still that case, but bring out the best china. You don't bring out the best china when you have kids. The best china stays hidden, but when you have the visitors over, the guests over, bring out the best china. Bring out grandma's linens for the napkins. We've got lots of best china at our house now. We've combined several households. But she's brought out her best china. She's brought out her best silver, her best linen, and even her best lace to make the table glow. Don't you like to come to a Thanksgiving table where all the finery is out and it just kind of glows, does it not? And it makes that appetite even more intense. Now, wisdom has also sent out her maidens to issue invitations to the banquet, and they've gone to the high places of the city crying out, come and dine at wisdom's table. So we see here in this passage that wisdom attends to every detail as a gracious host would. You know, that's something. If you're going to be a gracious host, you've got to be a detailed person. Now, her activity in this passage of chapter 9 contrasts with the woman of folly, and this starts in, I think, verse 13. But there's a contrast here with the woman of folly who simply sits at the entrance of her house with very little to do, for what the woman of folly does comes later and is done in secret. Wisdom's public banquet, folly's secret banquet. Now, wisdom's banquet reminds us of the great banquet that is promised to those who intend to marry the Lamb. Are you going to marry the Lamb? Are you engaged to the Lamb today? If you are, you're going to be at the marriage supper of the Lamb. Remember in the book of Revelation where we are told that those are blessed who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. You know, unless you're a child of the Lamb, you'll not be there at the marriage supper of the Lamb. The Bible is replete with references of dining with the Lamb of God. Isaiah 55 tells everyone who is thirsty to come and drink. And he that hath no money, come ye buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Oh, wisdom's banquet has no fee. Wisdom's banquet says, come and eat and dine free. There's no charge here. It's all free. All you have to do is come. And Psalm 34, 8 admonishes, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. And Psalm 81, 10 says, I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. Open thy mouth. Some of us go, what's the scripture say? Open thy mouth wide. That's what Mr. Woods used to tell us, and pastor tells us in choir. Some of us, great is thy faithfulness. The Bible says, open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. You know, you can come to the service here on Sunday morning and Sunday evening and Wednesday evening, just have your mouth just open a little bit. Or you can have it open wide, and God will fill it. All depends on you. Jesus said, blessed is he that shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. Jesus referenced a banquet when he told of a certain man who made a great supper and bade many, saying, come, for all things are now ready. Oh, the invitation was sent forth, and some said, well, I just can't come. I just married a wife. I got to go tend to the field. I fell and I hurt, broke my leg. Oh, many made excuses, and the master was angry because they wouldn't come, but he didn't stop the banquet. For he ordered his servant in Luke 14, 21 through 23, go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city and bring in hither the poor. That's us. Those of us that have come to Christ, those of us that have bowed the knee to Christ are poor. Bring in the maimed, we're the maimed. Bring in the halt, the cripples. Bring in those that can't see, the blind, that's us. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. And the Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways and the hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. You know, wisdom's house will be filled. It says right here. Jesus is pictured in the scriptures as the bread of life, the water of life, the very communion ordinance that we recently participated in points to him as the banquet at which we will dine. He told his disciples to take, eat. This is my body, and drink of the cup, saying, this is the blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. Jesus is the meat. Jesus is the wine. Jesus is the table gloriously arrayed. And here in our passage, he is wisdom calling to the simple. So wisdom makes a point in calling the simple. Now, who are the simple? Well, the simple are just that. They're simple. In other words, they have not been complicated by the world. Now, I'd say in kindergarten, all the children are simple. Now, some children are simple when they're seniors. But some Children are not simple by the time they're seniors, but there's some transition from simple to complex. Some adults are simple. But these that he is calling are those who have not yet made up their minds about their course of life. You know, some children have made up their minds about their course of life when they're very young. Our Christian school is filled with the simple. Students who are simple and are in the process of making up their minds about their course of life. Now, teachers, you are to be wisdom inviting them to the banquet. That's your mission. You take the position of wisdom, calling them to come and dine at the master's table, inviting the simple to subtlety of understanding, inviting the simple to knowledge, inviting the simple to discretion according to the scriptures. For wisdom calls to the simple, the ones who lack understanding, to turn in hither and receive understanding. That's why we have a Christian school here. It's a call to go out to the simple to come and dine at the banquet of wisdom. Come to the feast and dine upon my meat and bread and drink of my wine, which I have embellished with spices and delightful aromas. In other words, make a decision, a definite decision. Turn in hither, it says. Does it not? You know, you're going down the road and there's a fork in the road. Yogi Berra said, when you come to a fork in the road, take it. Imagine that. But you come to a fork in the road, you have to make a decision as to which direction you go into. Well, it seems to me that there is a decision that the simple make. And it's a decision for wisdom, or it's a decision for folly. Wisdom says, make a definite decision to forsake that which is foolish and come and go with me in the way of understanding. That decision needs to be presented to the simple. It is here. There is in this call a definite time of decision for the simple, for those who are seducible, to those who can be led astray, to those who believe every word. You know, the Bible says you're foolish if you believe every word. It says here in verse 4, whoso is simple, let him turn in hither. There is a turning. Now, the foolish woman says, turn in hither. Now, this reminds us of the absolute that Jesus told Nicodemus, ye must be born again. Basically, Jesus was saying, turn in hither. It is the forsaking of the foolish and living and going in the way of understanding. Forsake the foolish. That's the message that teachers give in school. That's the message that parents give at home. Be not the companion of fools, for they shall remain in the congregation of the dead. If you're the companion of fools, you're in the congregation of the dead, the Bible says. That's pretty strong, is it not? Wisdom promises life, but folly promises death. You know, the amazing thing in this world is that most choose folly. The natural heart is so corrupt as to refuse the banquet that wisdom offers in favor of folly, who only promises death. Now, there are fine restaurants in Pensacola. You're given an opportunity to go to this restaurant, this fine restaurant, or you can go to Hardee's or McDonald's.
Oh, I want to go to Hardee's.
That's what happens in this world. Wisdom calls and says, I've got the finest of meats, I've got the finest of wines, my table is gloriously arrayed. And all you're doing is choosing paper products, fast foods. Folly is described in verses 13 through 18. A foolish woman is clamorous. She is simple and knoweth nothing. Boy, that's an absolute. For she sitteth at the door of her house on a seat in the high places of the city to call passengers who go right on their way. She's calling also, is she not? The call goes out. She's sitting at the doorpost in the high places of the city, and she's calling to the passengers to turn in hither. And as for him that wanteth understanding, she saith to him, stolen waters are sweet, and bread eaten in secret is pleasant, but, see the contrast here in the last verse? But he knoweth not, the simple one knoweth not, that the dead are there and that her guests are in the depths of hell. Boy, what a message that you need to communicate to the young people, the simple. So we see in verse 14 that folly sits at the door of her house. She is in a high place of the city, and we are told that she is simple and knows nothing. And the reason she knows nothing is that she does not know wisdom. Oh my, how we have a lot of educated fools. They know nothing. If you do not know wisdom, you know nothing, the Bible says. So her call, as Lady Wisdom's call, also goes out to the simple. But her call is a clamorous call. It's a loud call. It's a call of commotion. It's a call of noise. It's a call of trouble. This woman who sits in the doorway, motioning the simple to come in hither, has no public table, no table set with fine linen and gold and silverware, no meat and mingled wine. All of her wares are in secret. Her banquet table is not in the dining room. Her appeal is to the simple, and it is also an appeal to turn, and it is appeal to turn in hither toward the woman of folly. It is an appeal to the simple to choose a course in life. Those are the two calls here. It is an appeal to those who wanteth understanding. Now, this does not mean those who desire understanding. That's not what that means. It means those who do not have understanding. There's a want. There's a lack. For those who do not have understanding will yield to her siren call. You get understanding, according to the scriptures, you will not yield to folly's siren call. You know, we live in the age of great amplification of folly's siren call. My, talk about a symbol of the commotion of folly's siren call when you think about the amplification of the music today. You're going down the road and all of a sudden you hear boom, 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 boom. And this car next to you is shaking. Folly's siren call. Commotion. Din. Noise. You can hear the clamor of the call of folly wherever you go. Especially the call that she issues through her music. Clamorous in all its ways. And you know, the sad thing is that that clamor of folly is being brought into the church. I remember visiting some folks that we knew in the Navy way back in the, must have been in the 70s, over in Gulfport. We went to church with them, and they had a rock band in the church. We walked out. I'm just not used to the clamor of folly in Wisdom's house. Many churches have lent their ear and yielded to her call, choosing to bring in folly's clamor. But Wisdom calls to the Spirit, while folly caters to the flesh. So we see the war that Wisdom engages in here, for both put out a call to come to a supper. One call will feed the soul and the spirit, and the other call only feeds the flesh. You know, folks who are not interested in Wisdom's call would think you crazy for coming to church all the time. Oh, you go to church on Sunday morning, Sunday evening, and Wednesday evening, and then other special occasions, and you read your Bible. Why are you doing all that? I'm listening to Wisdom's call. I've got to have something to protect my ears from folly's call. And I can do that by bringing Wisdom's call to bear. You know, the other thing that folly always advertises, she advertises the stolen waters as sweet. Oh, the Bible says sin is pleasant for a season. Wisdom is pleasant for eternity. There's the difference. Folly always says, oh, look at how beautiful this is. This is so much fun. This is so much pleasure. Come down this road. Just for a season, she advertises the bread that's eaten in secret as pleasant. Oh yeah, you'll get all kinds of feelings from bread eaten in secret. But boy, those feelings turn into misery and woe. She advertises sensual pleasures as her banquet. She feeds the simple the bread of deceit, but never tells of the aftertaste of that bread. Have you ever tasted something and said, oh, that's sure good, and boy, the aftertaste just doesn't match up. Wisdom says bread of deceit is sweet to a man, but afterwards his mouth shall be filled with gravel. Boy, that's tasty. You're at the beach and somebody kicks sand in your mouth. Oh, I love that. Do it again. You know, folly specializes in secret sin, but never advertises that all sin will be revealed. Job told of the adulterer and the robber who think to hide their sin. In Job 24:15, we're told this: the eye also of the adulterer waiteth for the twilight, saying, no eye shall see me, and he disguiseth his face. Well, what a picture of the adulterer. No eye shall see me. I'm leaving at twilight. Everybody's asleep. I can make it through. I'll just cover my face. Nobody will know. And about the robber in chapter 24, verse 16, in the dark, they dig through houses. Robbers choose the dark to dig through houses, which they had marked for themselves in the daytime. They cased the joint. That's the parlance of the criminal. We got to case the joint, Joe. They know not the light. And for both in verse 17, for the morning is to them even as the shadow of death. If one know them, they are in the terrors of the shadow of death. They don't know it, but they are. You know, folly does not adhere to truth in advertising, for she tells not of the eyes of God which do not know darkness. God knows not darkness. You can't choose darkness to do your evil deeds thinking that God can't look through the darkness. Job tells us of this in Job 34:21. For his eyes are upon the ways of man, and he seeth all his goings. Boy, what a truth to get to your young people. There is no darkness nor shadow of death where the workers of iniquity may hide themselves. Wisdom dispels folly's notion of darkness by telling the simple in Luke 12, 2 and 3, for there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed. You know, everything that you've done will be revealed unless it's under the blood. Folly's sin will be revealed, neither hid that shall not be known. Therefore, whatsoever ye have spoken in darkness shall be heard in the light, and that which ye have spoken in the ear in closets shall be proclaimed upon the housetops. Boy, you better get your sin under the blood. This tells us here that it's going to be proclaimed upon the housetops. You know, folly never makes mention of that little verse in Scripture that says, "Thou God seest me." Boy, that's a little four-letter verse that you ought to have on the lips of the children. "Thou God seest me." But wisdom must bring that to bear upon the simple. "Thou God seest me" is that which comes to those who fear the Lord. You know, if you fear the Lord on the tip of your tongue when you do something, "Thou God seest me," boy, that old heart is pricked when you fear the Lord. "Thou God seest me" should be the mantra of all parents who desire to rear their children for the Lord. For unless that is implanted in the heart, the simple will continue in simplicity and eventually join the hosts of the scorners. You know, that's the path of the simple, unless they're introduced to wisdom. We're told here in this last part of chapter 9, folly claims stolen waters are sweet, and bread eaten in secret is pleasant. But wisdom again reminds her, as she did at the end of chapter 8, that at the end of folly's road, the dead are found, and her guests are in the depths of hell. That's the end of folly. You know, the end of wisdom is eternal bliss with God your Maker. Those are the two calls that go out in chapter 9. Those are the two calls that you've got to make known to the simple. One call results in life. The other call results in death. Two absolutes. No gray areas here. Life or death. And that's what Jesus said when he said, "Ye must be born again. Unless you're born again, you choose death." If you're born again, you choose life and wisdom's call. Father, thank you for this chapter in Proverbs. We aren't finished with it yet, but we're so thankful that you give us this contrast of wisdom's call versus folly's call. Help us as parents, as teachers, as young men, young women, to keep this in mind, Father, as we go through life. Perhaps we have not chosen a course in life. Perhaps we're still simple. We pray, Father, for all of us here that we would all choose a course in life, and that course would be wisdom's call, the Lord Jesus Christ. Bless us, Father, as we go to our service this morning, and bless our pastor as he speaks to us, for we pray that in Jesus' name, amen.